Episode 33. Welcome, friends. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Bible FAQ with Kirk Van. I'm Kirk Van Odeham, your host to the podcast that provides brief, thoughtful, biblical answers to your questions. Today, I'm going to address the question of the presumed pagan origins of Christmas and whether or not December 25th may be the actual date of the birth of Christ. And is that even possible? So before we get into that topic, I do want to invite you to visit the website of our podcast. And that website is kirkvan.com. There you can find all about the Bible FAQ podcast. You can discover all sorts of different ways to access and listen to the podcast or watch the video recording of the podcast. Also, you can connect with us and contact us by filling out a form at the website kirkvan.com. Also encourage you to like us on Facebook, and you can submit a question to us through Facebook as well after you like us, and then you'll also receive notifications in your feed when future episodes are posted. Well, I want to take all the time I can to actually answer the question that we're going to look at today. And I've been sitting on this question for a little while, holding it until we got into the holiday season and it may be of more interest to more people. But I received this question from the website, and let me read it to you. I've read or heard several things about the origins of Christmas and specifically about the December 25th date. Some say that this date cannot be the date that Christ was born. Some say that this date was deliberately chosen in an effort to replace pagan holidays. I'm not sure what to make of all this, and I'd like to know your thoughts on the subject. Well, first of all, excellent questions. I'm sure many of the listeners have heard or read similar things that Christianity borrowed from or just simply stole the date of another pagan holiday in order to, you know, steal its significance and convert its adherence or whatever the argument may be. And many people don't know what to make of these claims. They don't know if it's true. They don't know, it's hard to determine these things because there's conflicting information, to be sure. Now, some people that make such claims are actually Christians, but they're very zealous and they believe that Christianity was compromised and Christmas, the celebration of Christmas is one of those compromises, and therefore they want to return to a date and a time before Christianity was compromised. So, you know, that's a worthy position and one that I can appreciate and one that I have actually been tempted to kind of go along with at time when it comes to the argument of Christmas. But I do say perhaps sometimes quick to jump to conclusions and accept arguments without really having the evidence that those arguments are true, because it kind of supports your presuppositions about the corruption of Christianity and things like that. But other people who advance these views are actually secularist. They're humanists or at the very, or sometimes even atheists. And oftentimes, perhaps not always, but oftentimes the underlying motivation for purveying these arguments is to cast doubt on religion in general and on Christianity in particular, to give an alternative narrative that will hopefully in the minds of at least some of them expose Christianity as fraudulent and compromised and cast doubt on whether or not you should believe its claims. And so, again, not all people, but that's kind of where some of this comes from. And so we have to be suspicious right from the onset of the motivation of this, and that sheds light on the legitimacy of the claims to some regard. But I'm interested in the evidence. And so this question, I read it to you, that was submitted to the website. I'm going to address the same question in two parts. First of all, is December 25th the actual date of the birth of Christ? Is it even possible? And secondly, how did December 25th come into acceptance in Christianity? Was it really the co-opting of pagan holidays or traditions, as some have charged, and that's the reason why we celebrate Christmas on December 25th as an expression and outworking of pagan influence? Well, I hope, even if you disagree with my premises and conclusions, I hope you at least consider some of my evidence that have led to those conclusions. So let me just start with the first part here. Is December 25th the actual date of the birth of Christ? Or is that even possible that it could have been? Well, the Bible obviously doesn't provide a specific date. The earliest documents of the church that we have, at least, and I say this for a lot of things, we don't know what we don't know. We have what we have, and we don't have what we don't have. All we can say is the earliest evidence of what we have. And so Irenaeus, Tertullian, Origen, those authors, which are the earliest extant existing documents that we have of Christian writings outside of the New Testament itself, they don't address Christmas. So people come to the conclusion, well, Christmas wasn't celebrated yet because they didn't talk about it. Technically, it doesn't mean it wasn't celebrated or people didn't know have a belief of when Christmas was. It just means that those particular authors didn't write about it. Maybe it's because they wanted to write about other things. But we'll just presume that perhaps there's a strong argument that it was not yet celebrated at that time. But what we do know is beginning at the beginning of the 3rd century AD, so this would be AD 200s, the very beginning of that century, there was a lot more interest and a lot more people writing about Christmas and the birth of Christ and the date of Christmas. And what we see is a growing level of agreement for the December 25th day that began to develop at this time. Again, the early 3rd century, the AD 200s, if you will. So is this the actual date? Well, the Bible doesn't say, as I said. The gospel provides some details that many people have used throughout history and up to today to try to either evaluate different theories about when Christmas was based on some of the evidence we have from scripture and other historical sources. Cyrenius was governor of Egypt. Zechariah was serving in the temple at a specific time that helps us to anchor a date in for these sequence of events. Augustus was Caesar of Rome, and he had the census. So perhaps we can use those to rule out certain dates. King Herod's rulership was in swing. There was Star of Bethlehem, this astronomical sign. If we can kind of figure out what that sign may have been, that may help us to pinpoint. And some other clues we don't have time to get into, but ultimately these clues are inconclusive to accurately pinpoint the exact date, but they're helpful to probably rule out bad theories as to when Christmas could not be rather than when it could be. So with these clues in mind and with the various hypotheses and estimations that we do have, is it possible that the actual birth of Christ took place on December 25th? Could there be any truth to this ancient tradition that began to materialize and gain support as early as the early 200s? Well, yes, as it turns out, it is possible. It's impossible to know for sure if that was the exact date, but it's certainly possible that it could have been. And I'm not making a case that it was. I'm just saying it's not outside the realm of possibility. And in fact, it's actually congruent with some of the leading theories of biblical and theological scholars who have tried to estimate this time. Now, generally speaking, the academic types who engage in this type of speculation, they don't say this is when it happened. They're saying based on the best evidence that we have, if we had to pick a time that is most likely, this is the time we picked. And granted, there's different theories, but one of the prevailing theories, again, not the only one, but one of the prevailing theories, probably best articulated by Dr. Paul Meyer, who was formerly professor of ancient history at the University of Michigan, with whom many scholars agree. His best estimates based on all the evidence would be that the date of the birth of Christ took place in the fall or winter of 5 BC. And he's not excluding the other dates and times are possible. He's just saying most of the evidence would support that, and none of the evidence would rule out that time. So that's his best estimate. Now, again, a lot of scholars agree with this, some don't, whatever the case may be, but December 25th obviously fits within that time frame. It fits within those parameters. So it's not impossible that December 25th might actually be the time. At least some very smart people who've studied this stuff extensively believe it could have been in the fall or winter. And so it may not be too far off, as some contrary to what some may tell us. So that brings us to our second part of this, and that is, how did the December 25th date come into acceptance in Christianity? Is it really co-opting pagan holidays and practices, as we're led to believe by some, or is there another explanation on why early Christians chose this date? Well, all of these kind of pagan co-opting influence theories can kind of fall under one category, and it's called the history of religion hypothesis. And basically, again, that's just that the December 25th date was selected by borrowing from pre-Christian pagan religious beliefs and practices. Now, we have to say from the onset here that these claims are theoretical. There's very little, if any, direct evidence that this took place. It's based on assumptions and deductions. In other words, there's no documents from the 2nd century, the 3rd century, the 4th century, or for many centuries beyond that point, that say, well, you know, that give us any indication, either from, you know, Christian sources or secular sources, that say this is what happened. This is just a theory based on deductions and assumptions, mostly by what they see as overlap and what must be more than coincidence in their minds. And so they come up with this explanation based on the facts that there's overlap between these various holidays of these various religious traditions. And so, but when we investigate it further, we see that people making these claims actually contradict one another. In some cases, they have conflicting arguments but also, you know, when presented with kind of contradictory information or counterpoints or evidence that, you know, contradict the history of religion hypothesis, they oftentimes ignore it or dismiss it. And so, you know, that's always a problem as well. Now, I've read up on this topic quite a bit. You know, I don't claim to be a foremost expert or anything, but my conclusion is, reading a lot of sources, that the setting of the date of the birth of Christ on December 25th organically arose from Judeo-Christian thought and tradition. So it was their desire to try to conclude when the date may have been and to gain consensus around an accurate assessment of when that date was. So they wanted to do this for intrinsic purposes and not from some sort of desire to co-opt pagan holidays or traditions or whatever. So I'm not ruling out the possibility that there may be have been some cultural influences. That's possible, and that would be human nature, I suppose, to some degree. But there's no evidence to that, but we can't conclusively prove it had zero impact either. And also, as I said, the evidence seems pretty clear that the primary vote motivation for December 25th came out of Christian thought. That was the motivation. That was the impetus, if you will. Now, I'm not saying that there's a strong case that December 25th is actually the day. You know, I'm not saying that it's correct or accurate and they were correct in their assessment. I'm just saying that to the best of their knowledge and for their purposes, they believed that that was the best date that they could come up with. And they did so primarily or perhaps even exclusively just based on their own traditions and their own writings and their own Christian thought and not on outside influences. So, you know, you may disagree with the conclusion that Christmas is December 25th, but I don't think we can accurately disagree that they believed it was, or believed that that was the best conclusion that they could reach based on the evidence that they had. And we should note, as a result of their decisions and their conclusions and their thought process, the date won quick and virtually universal consensus and approval throughout the ancient world. And by the way, that same tradition exists all the way up until today. And there's never been any serious large-scale attempt to discredit the idea. Now, again, a lot of modern scholars say, or may not have been December 25th, or couldn't have been. But I'm saying there's no religious group that said, wait, it's not December 25th, it's this date, and we can prove it, and let's change the date of Christmas. No, for the most part, throughout history, all Christians have gladly accepted and celebrated Christmas on December 25th. And so, again, I'm not trying to make the point that that's the accurate date. I'm just making the point that they believed it was the best date that they could come up with. So on that point, and I hate to get into this because it's kind of a dirt road here, but some people say, and I've read this even among some, you know, otherwise reputable sources say, oh, well, actually, some people believe it was January 6th. And the Eastern Church, by the way, still celebrates Christmas on January 6th or 7th, mostly the 7th, but in some Orthodox traditions on the 6th. And so not everybody agrees, not all Christians agreed or still agree today on the date of Christian. That's actually inaccurate assessment of the information. That is conflating two different things and also attributing the wrong explanation to the misunderstanding in the first place. So it's conflating Epiphany and Christmas, and it's falsely saying that people who celebrated Epiphany at one time believed it was the birth of Christ, which never happened in history. Epiphany has always been Epiphany, and Christmas has always been a Christmas, and no groups ever celebrated one or the other. The fact that they never confused the two is what I'm trying to say as I rush through this very quickly. And it is a complicated matter because often people say, well, you know, the Eastern Church celebrates Christmas on January 7th today. Well, that's not because they have a different understanding of Christmas. That's because they date in the Middle Ages, the Western Church decided to go with the Gregorian calendar, which is scientifically a more accurate calendar. And so they just continued to use the same dates that they used under the Julian calendar. They just applied them to the Gregorian calendar so they didn't have to change the dates of any holidays. But the Eastern tradition said, no, we don't want to do that. We're just going to continue to use the same Julian calendar to calculate the liturgical calendar. Now, from a practical perspective and day-to-day, the calendar that all the, you know, Western civilization uses and most of the world uses today is the Gregorian calendar. But for the purposes of configuring the liturgy, they use the Julian calendar in the Orthodox tradition. It's not that they disagree on the date. They disagree on the calendar that should be used to calculate the date. So their December 7th on the Gregorian calendar is actually December 25th on the Julian calendar. But it's December 7th on our calendar, if that makes any sense. It's a little bit confusing, but the main point is there was never any confusion or crossover between Epiphany and Christmas in terms of the dating of the birth of Christ or what happened on those events. Now, it is true that the Western tradition applied different significance and started saying Epiphany is the celebration of the visiting of the Magi, which, you know, is probably not historically accurate, but that's besides the point. So they lend a different focus to Epiphany. While the Eastern Church doesn't practice it as Christmas, they celebrate it as an anniversary of the baptism of Jesus and a celebration of the incarnation, not as the birthday of Jesus. In the Eastern tradition, actually on our calendar, they celebrate Christmas on December 7th and Epiphany on January 19th, whereas the Western tradition celebrates on our calendar Christmas on December 25th and Epiphany on December 6th. But the two aren't the same thing, and there's just people confused about that. That's all I can say. And so everybody agreed originally that a Christmas was at the same time. It was universally accepted. And the discrepancy arose when they decided to use different calendars, not because they disagreed on the dates. So back to the kind of original point here I'm trying to make, and that is that the evidence shows that the dating of Christmas on September 25th was developed out of Christian tradition and thought, not out of from pagan influence or that sort of thing. And so the primary argument to this effect is called the calculation hypothesis, and it goes something like this. The earliest attempts by Christians to date the birth of Christ was actually a byproduct of dating the death and resurrection of Jesus and to try to establish on the calendar the appropriate date to commemorate of the death and resurrection. Now, you probably immediately say, well, I was under the assumption that that was never in, that was never debated among Christians. It was never in question. Well, it wasn't really as far as when it happened, but the problem was that the earliest church used the Hebrew calendar. And so to the early church, Nisan 14 was the date that Christ died, because it happened at the same time, the dating of the Passover, which is clear in scripture. So there's never any debate when that happened. The problem arose, or not the problem, but the rectification that needed to be done, was when Christianity started to be detached from its Hebrew roots, which it eventually did, and became a Gentile phenomena much more than a Hebrew phenomena, and being thrust into a world that didn't use the Hebrew calendar, but used the Julian calendar for its day-to-day. They decided, well, you know, what day is it on our calendar that we should celebrate the resurrection? Because they didn't use the Hebrew calendar. And so they had to calculate that, and they had to reconcile that. And out of that discussion and out of that, they begin to question, well, when are some of the other important dates of Christianity, and when should we put those on the calendar? And so this calculation hypothesis, then what we know is from the very early consensus was that the passion and crucifixion of Jesus took place on March 25th, according to the estimation and conclusion of the early church using the solar calendar. So they said March 25th is the date. That's when. And there was also an early tradition, now known as the Integral Age, although they probably didn't call it that, that the great prophets were died on the anniversary of the day that they were conceived. Now, again, whether or not this has any validity to it is not the question, but the point is it certainly influenced their thinking at the time. But again, this is Judeo-Christian thought and traditions. It may not be biblical, but it arose out of the Judeo-Christian culture and not from outside influences. And so they said, okay, if Christ died on March 25th, then it's most likely he was born on March 25th too. And if he was born on March 25th, and knew enough about medicine at the time to know that a pregnancy lasted 9 months, then that would put the date of the birth of Christ at, guess what? December 25th. So again, it's an outworking of establishing the date of the death and assuming that the date of the conception is at the same time, and that's where they get that. Now, you might be saying, well, that sounds like a good theory, but how do we know they actually believe that? How do we know that they actually thought that that was the case? Well, I'm not just making this up, as I hope you would you would assume. There's actually significant documentary evidence to demonstrate this calculation hypothesis. Now, again, I'm not saying that the calculation hypothesis is accurate and correct. I'm just saying that this was their working information in the way that they concluded when Christmas actually was. Had nothing to do with pagan festivals, had nothing to do with pagan religion. It just had to do with their own calculations on the Judeo-Christian traditions and thought. And so this can be boring to some, so I'll just hit the highlights very quickly, but I just want to demonstrate that there's actually documentary evidence in early Christian theological and historical writings. Tertullian, around the year AD 200, taught that the Passion and Crucifixion took place on March 25th. Other early writings, such as the De Pascha Comptus and a couple of others that I'd put in my notes here, they repeat the same thing. So that was a very early tradition, again, to the very early 200s, the year 200 itself. Now, regarding the conception and therefore the birth of Christ, Hippolytus of Rome, which is considered an early church father, a reputable author, he wrote in a biblical commentary dated in the first decade. Some data as early as 202 AD. Wrote in a biblical commentary that the birth of Jesus took place on December 25th and the Passion took place on March 25th. So again, the first decade, perhaps within the first 2 years of the third century, AD 200s, Christian writers were saying that. Now, you can say, well, this is the first person that confirmed that Christmas is on December 25th. Well, we don't know what we don't know. All that we can say for sure is this is the first writing that we have that documents it, that survived. That doesn't mean he made it up. That doesn't mean no one else believed it. But it at least is the earliest respectable source that says, yeah, Christmas is December 25th. What year was that? As early as AD 202. Okay. So another author, Sextus Julius Africanus, very known and well-respected historian who also happened to be a Christian, but became a protege of the Roman Emperor Servius Alexander, created a 5-volume history, which got a lot of notoriety in its day. It was published in AD 221, so a little later, but it was titled Chronographia. He recorded the date of Jesus' conception at March 25th, which, of course, after 9 months again, would result in a December 25th birth. So this is just, you know, again, not one author, not two authors, but multiple early Christian sources saying the same thing. And these are not, you know, scarce. You know, these are things that have been around for a long time that people just don't bother to consult. The bottom line is this: by the early 200s, significant documentary evidence demonstrates that the date of the conception and death of Jesus was widely presumed to be March 25th, and therefore the date of Jesus' birth, by calculating 9 months later, it was presumed to be December 25th, and some of the sources actually say that the birth of Jesus took place on December 25th. Again, this is the early 200s, and the earliest date of Christmas being mentioned is December 25th, was AD 202. Now, many people say that, oh, well, the first official dating of Christmas as December 25th is not till AD 336. Well, if you count that the Church of Rome officially declaring it, yes, that happened in AD 336. But I think we can safely say that this surely only served to formalize a long-held and widely accepted tradition among Christians. And we just named several documents that verify this. It wasn't accepted officially by the Church of Rome until this time, because it wasn't until this time that the Roman Empire had a Christian emperor, Constantine, the first professed Christian emperor. This happened during his reign. And so if that was true, and that was the first time anyone ever thought of Christmas being on December 25th, then it would, in fact, come after other religions that recognize that date for their purposes. But since we know it goes back at least to 202 and perhaps before that, this 336 date is just, it's kind of insignificant. I mean, it's significant in that it became official at that time, but it only became official because that's what Christians already believed, and there's lots of documentary evidence to that fact. Now, the calculation hypothesis is not the only reason that the Christians of the time believed that December 25th was the presumed date of Jesus' birth. There was other reasons as well. John Chrysostom made an argument from the dating of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and his temple service, and comparing that with Jewish records and using that as an anchor. Augustine of Hippo, the greatest theologian, most popular theologian of antiquity, he wrote about a Christian group known as the Donatists that didn't accept a lot of the what they considered novel attempts that corrupted Christianity. But they did accept from an early date December 25th as being Christmas, and they celebrated that. Now, that wasn't until a little later, but the point is, and the point Augustine was making, is it had to have been firmly established long before that point, or the Donatists wouldn't have accepted it, because they only accepted stuff that they believed was an ancient, early, original tradition of the church. And to them, at least, Christmas qualified for that. So there's other arguments as well that show rationale for believing, the early church believing, that December 25th was the date, that have nothing to do with pagan religion and pagan influence. So despite all this information that I just presented, or I should say, you know, for the most part, without knowing this information, many people, you know, they come to the conclusion that there's this pagan connection with the dating of Christmas. And they do it based on two assumptions, very simply. The first one is to say, well, pagan religions predate Christianity. So they had these customs first. So Christians obviously stole it from them. And the second would be, you know, it's just too big of a coincidence. The fact that the these pagan religions celebrated holidays at the same time, and then the Christians just happened to put the birth of Jesus. This is too big of a coincidence. The pagans came first. They must have been copying. Well, again, no evidence. It's a theory. It's based on assumption and deduction and speculation and conjecture. No early documentary evidence to substantiate. Substantial documentary evidence to substantiate that the Christians were recognizing Christmas. Confirmed as early as 202 and probably long before that, and that was just reflected in the literature. So, yeah, I want to make this quick, but one hypothesis is that, well, they were copying off of Saturnalia. Saturnalia was first, and they were copying off of that, and they were trying to co-opt that. Well, Saturnalia is an ancient Roman winter festival in honor of the agricultural deity that the Romans called Saturn. And it was originally celebrated on December 17th. Over the decades and centuries, that began to become expanded with festivities continuing until December 23rd. Now, it's difficult to know precisely when these celebrations were first established a lot of that. But what we do know is most of what we know about it wasn't actually written until the 1st through the 5th centuries. So, as far, you know, we know it started on the 17th, it was expanded to the 23rd. At the time Christmas was developing, we don't know where they were in that evolution of their holiday, so to speak. So it seemed to be kind of emerging and developing at the same time Christmas was, which kind of makes you wonder, well, maybe they were expanding and developing to compete with Christianity, and maybe not the other way around. I don't know that for sure. Now I'm engaging in speculation, but we don't know. But what we do know is a couple of things. There's several problems with the idea that the Christians are simply co-opting Saturnalia. One big problem with it is if Saturnalia began on the 17th and later became expanded to the 23rd, then if the Christians were co-opting that and stealing from that, why didn't they pick December 17th or 23rd? Why did they pick December 25th? It doesn't seem like if they're just trying to steal their thunder, so to speak, or convert their patron, so to speak, that they would do it later. So number one, that doesn't make any sense. Interestingly, there's no public record of public banquets associated with Saturnalia until after the declaration of Christmas. Until after in the 3rd century. So it almost seems like the Romans were up in their game to try to compete with Christmas and not the other way around. I think it was probably not as big of a holiday as some people thought prior to when Christmas. I'm not saying it didn't exist. And again, I know I'm engaging a little speculation here, but what I'm saying is there's just as much reason to believe that than there is the other way around. And so one thing I do know, and I've read in other sources that really weren't even talking about this, was the first Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, which again was Roman emperor at the time Christ was born. He wrote in his own annals, in his own kind of biographical writings, that he declared himself to be the highest priest of the Greco-Roman classical religion. He sought to expand it and to revive it because it was declining rapidly by the time, you know, in the first century, when he was, or whenever that may have been, there's some debate about that. But anyway, at that time, even prior to Christianity, the time Christianity was developing, even during the time of Christ, by the accounts of Caesar Augustus himself, Roman religion was declining and he was trying to revive it. He was building temples. He was initiating new festivals. He was pouring money into it. And history shows that his efforts largely failed because the classical Roman, Greco-Roman religion continued to decline. Now, Christianity was certain a part of that decline later on, but before that, it was these mystery cults that began to infiltrate the empire. We'll talk about that in a moment. So I guess my point is, if it's true, and if this theory that the Christians were trying to co-opt Saturnalia, why would they try to co-opt from a declining religion? You know, the idea is, oh yeah, they were going to take advantage of this celebration that everybody loved and the religion that everybody practiced, and they were trying to use that as a launching pad to convert to Christianity. Well, it doesn't make any sense if we understand the historical accurate truth that the Greco-Roman religion was actually declining. And the reason why Saturnalia was expanding was because they were trying to revive it. So, you know, these things just don't add up, and it just doesn't seem like a very ironclad argument. Not to mention the fact that the overwhelming body of evidence supports the idea that early Christians desperately and uniformly, with very few exceptions, did everything they could to separate themselves from pagan practices and pagan culture. They infuriated the Roman officials by declining to participate in anything that had anything to do with pagan culture and Greco-Roman religion. This is precisely why Christianity was illegal into the 4th century, while most other religions that were rivals to classical Greco-Roman religion were not illegal. They're perfectly legal, because Christianity was fairly unique in its claim that they rejected most of they rejected the religious overtones to the Greco-Roman culture. This is why the Christians were despised and persecuted, no small part for their utter rejection and refusal to participate in pagan religious practices and other cultural phenomena. And this persecution was severe, and oftentimes at different times and places in the empire culminated in execution and martyrdom. So it's very difficult to logically reconcile the idea that these extremely devoted countercultural Christians at the same time were trying to incorporate elements of pagan religion into their worship and use it as a tool of evangelism. I mean, it sounds like it's kind of a fabricated theory if you look at it from that perspective. And again, there's no evidence that that's actually what took place, only a theory based on no historical documents or anything like that. Now, another theory is, well, okay, maybe it wasn't Saturnalia that they were trying to co-opt. Actually, it was Sol Invictus. Yeah, that was the festival. That was the date. That was the thing that the Christians were trying to copy off of and co-opt and steal from. Now, what is Sol Invictus? Well, Sol Invictus was the official sun god of the late Roman Empire, so not even official at the time that Christianity was emerging. It became a patron of many of the Roman soldiers, which added to its popularity. It was inspired by actually a Persian Zoroastrian legend of Mithras, which was a god of this Persian god. And it was one of the many mystery religions that were the primary reason for the decline of the classical Greco-Roman religion. It was the threat, it was the competition. And so, now, this is true. The Emperor Aurelian dedicated a temple to Sol Invictus in Rome on December 25th, AD 274. And at some point after that, we don't know exactly when, but it wasn't right away, that there was a festival of Solus Invicti that began to be celebrated on December 25th. Now, there's little evidence that this festival even was celebrated until the middle of the 4th century, but at least at 274, this temple was dedicated. So people say, oh yeah. And again, this is where they pull out the 336 date. Well, Christmas was an official holiday until AD 336, and Sol Invictus was a festival beginning in 274. Therefore, it's obvious these were on the same date, December 25th. It's obvious who stole from who. Well, number one, yes, this temple was dedicated in 274, but they didn't celebrate the festival until long after that. We don't know exactly when. So here's a couple problems with this co-op theory. Number one, as I already stated, but I'll reiterate, Christmas was already being written about as taking place on December 25th. Whether that's accurate and correct or not, Christians believed it in the early 200s, at the very latest 202, and it may have been reflective of a tradition that goes back farther than that. So by that reckoning and perspective, the celebration of Christmas and the recognition of the birth of Christ on December 25th predates the dedication of Sol Invictus Temple by 70 plus years. And so that's one problem with it. They're incorrect. The only way that makes sense if you say Christmas didn't start till 336, which we already shown is not true. But there's other problems with that. And as I said, with Christmas, you know, the date goes back to the early 200s. But with Sol Invictus, there is no record whatsoever of December 25th being associated with this religion or with this festival or anything prior to 274. That's the earliest date. There's no evidence that prior to that time, prior to this Roman emperor, Aurelius, that anybody ever chose December 25th to have anything to do with this mystery cult of Solus Invicti. The Zoroastrian worship of Mithras, from which this legend and these myths arose, did not appear to have any involvement with the winter solstice or December 25th in any way. Even the ancient Roman sun gods, who kind of it was all kind of compiled together into the same deity and god, but the ancient Roman sun gods, the worship of classical Roman Greco-Roman system, was not connected with December. It was not connected with the winter solstice. Aurelian in 274 was the first one to select the solstice and the winter celebration and the date of December 25th, and that wasn't until 274. That's the earliest identification with December 25th, not before that. So from that perspective, many historians have concluded that it was actually Sol Invictus and Aurelius that borrowed from the Christian tradition and not the other way around. That he may have very well chosen December 25th because he saw Christianity as the threat to this mystery cult and to the threat. And so he may have actually been borrowing. We don't know for sure if that was on his mind, but we do know that the acceptance of Christmas on December 25th predates Aurelian's dedication of his temple to Sol Invictus by at least 70 years. And the festival that was held annually on December 25th doesn't happen until like a century even after that. So it's highly probable that this mystery cult Sol Invictus borrowed from Christianity and not the other way around. We can't prove that that was their motivation, but we can show historically from documentary evidence that the Christians had that date on their calendars before any pagan religion or pagan practice or pagan holiday or pagan festival. That we can say for sure. Well, I'm kind of getting into this a little bit, and I'll just take a few more minutes, but there's other problems with this pagan co-opting theory as well. As I mentioned, there's no early, this is all theoretical. This is all hypothetical. This is all speculation. There's no ancient documents that say or suggest that, yeah, that was actually what the Christians were doing, In fact, the very first occurrence that we can detect from history that this theory was historically founded is not found until a document in the 12th century. And this is a manuscript by Assyrian Bishop Jacob Bar Silibi. And it's actually just even a brief annotation of uncertain date added by a scribe. So this is the 12th century. So this is, you know, hundreds of years later, 900 years later, whatever. You can do the math. But this would be the 1100s. So we're talking about from the 200s and onward to the 11. It's not until the 1100s that anybody even speculates that Christians borrowed from the pagans for the date of Christmas. And in the earliest document that we have any evidence for, it's not even the main author who made that, but a scribe who copied it that added it as an annotation and the annotation itself cannot be verified or dated. That's the very earliest evidence. So no one really paid any attention to that. We just discovered it centuries later. It's not until the 18th century and later that this idea even raised much attention and concern at all. And that's from two primary sources. There was a fundamentalist German Protestant named Paul Jabolinsky that held December 25th as a paganization of that debased the true church. And then a Benedictine monk named Juan Hadoin argued that the church adopted pagan festivals for Christian purposes. But again, this is not till the 18th century. And this is really the first time in history that people even began to speculate that this would happen. So this whole idea is a completely novel, relatively modern concept that has no basis in the history, in ancient history whatsoever. And it's really not until the 19th century, the end of the 19th century, almost the 20th century, a work published in 1890, that this idea was even popularized at all. And that was the book called The Golden Bough by anthropologist Sir James George Frazer. He was a secularist and a critic of Christianity. And he postulated, he expounded upon his theory of cultural evolution of comparative religion. And he expounded in one chapter the theory that the Christmas date was chosen as an attempt to transfer the devotion of the heathen. And he cites a couple of evidences for his theory, but he loses credibility when he takes aim at the celebration of the resurrection and says they also co-opted the resurrection for the same reason, which is clearly erroneous historically. We now know, even though this was really acclaimed at the time and is really the first comparative religious book of its time, we now know that the book gets many basic facts wrong, and it clearly strains so-called evidence to arrive at a predetermined conclusion, which is completely biased and secular to discredit Christianity. So it's not really a scholarly look. It's basically just an argument to debase Christianity. So the bottom line is that the history of religion hypothesis is largely unsupported and relatively novel idea in theory based on speculation and conjecture and not on actual history and documentary evidence. So all that, let me summarize by saying, all this talk of December 25th being chosen to supplant or to borrow from or to steal adherence from or to transfer devotion from pagans, all this, that is a new theory. It's a new theory. There's no historical evidence for it. It's amazing how people just, you know, make this stuff up with no evidence, where the real evidence suggests at the very least, or at the very latest, I should say, by 2002, Christians were already recognizing December 25th as the birth of Christ. They may have been incorrect. That may be inaccurate, as I demonstrated. It's possible. It's not for sure. It's possible. Whether they're correct or incorrect, the point is they arrived at that conclusion based on the best Christian evidence in theory that they had at the time without any known influence by pagan culture or religion. And so what can we say about this? It's myths and legends, and none of it has any substance in terms of actual historical evidence. So I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. God bless you, and thank you for listening. That's all the time we have for now. But please tune into the podcast again soon. Until next time, the Lord bless thee, the Lord keep thee, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee, be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Thanks again for listening, and farewell for now.